This is CliffCentral.com.
Yo, what's up, what's up? This is Brennan Leo, and you are currently tuned in to Urban Culture Drive with your boy, the Sekwa Mapanga, your sexy girl, Candace, and the one and only Craigo Sexy. Sit back and relax, don't worry, you're in good hands. Out.
Urban Culture Drive.
Boy, Candace, Craigo Sexy. Urban Culture Drive.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to it, everybody. It's the Urban Culture Drive. Back at it on a Tuesday.
Once again, squad going up.
Squad going
on
up.
On a Tuesday.
How cute is that?
Yeah, how have you guys been?
I'm going to be the first one to ask.
We've been fab.
We've been delicious, Greg.
Let's talk about the rain this weekend. I thought it was a fantastic thing.
If you were single this weekend...
It was a mess.
I apologize sincerely.
Well, thank goodness I wasn't, you know.
I was so single. I was even like hitting people up. I'm like, okay, guys,
what's happening?
Hi, stranger. And no, everyone just blue ticked me. So it was dry. It was dry.
So rough for you,
hey,
goodness.
Fam.
No,
it was too much.
Yeah, but I had a very interesting weekend. So what I decided to do was to call up International Bay and be like, okay, we're going to cuddle up the whole weekend because
oh, yes.
It was raining.
Okay.
I cooked my lamb stew.
Oh,
I
saw
that man's heart.
Oh, my gosh.
It was the perfect combination. You know, two cute people.
Is this American Bay?
Are you classifying yourself as cute?
No, he's very cute.
I'm very cute.
No, nyabuz. It's a simple question.
Self-carved.
No. I'm not even cute. I'm cute. Oh, sexy.
Listen here, Craig. I just want to ask you.
An extension.
I just want to ask you this weekend. So you guys have been hanging out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What are you?
I don't know. Who knows these things? You never know.
Are you just going with the flow?
Just going with the flow. You go with the flow with this kind of thing.
Okay.
You never want to put too much pressure.
Gotcha.
You know, you want to hint seriousness, but you also don't want to push too much, you know?
Have you caught feelings, would you say?
I would say yes. I would establish myself as yes.
Okay.
I have. I'm in there. I'm in the moment.
Do you think he has caught feelings?
Of course. Who doesn't love me? Just kidding. And you, babes, what? So you tried to.
I tried to get laid.
Yes.
But it wasn't happening. It wasn't happening for me.
Okay.
It's been dry.
Just to bring back a bit of order into the show.
Order.
Let us not shock our guests. Because it is becoming too much. Guys, today we have. Miss Lynn, okay, she said I'm
a beautiful woman.
Lynn.
Yes,
we have Lynn Mansour in the house today with us.
Woo!
Founder and CEO of KLM Empowered. Joined or accompanying Miss Lynn is Miss Siba Mthongana.
Mthongana,
yes.
My favorite.
On the line.
Who'll be dialing in?
She'll be dialing
in. She's on the line. Hi, Miss Siba, how are you?
I'm good, and how are you?
Hi, Siva, how are you?
Yes.
I am good, please. How are you all doing?
We're good. We're so excited to have you on today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, so and nice. We have your astute friend, Miss Lynn, with us in studio. Say hi.
Oh, this is so cute. It feels like Women Empowerment Month is not leaving.
Right?
You know
right?
What I mean?
It's a forever condition.
We're just continuing this whole thing.
So in the spirit of women empowerment, I've been doing a series of these.
Yes.
Today now we have like very, very important woman.
Important
with
woman.
Us.
VIPs. Yes. We have the VIPs like today.
I'm feeling scared, guys. I'm feeling nervous. I've never done an interview of such a caliber, but we won't do best and see how
But
how
a quick
it goes.
Disclaimer on that every woman is super important. Every woman should be proud.
Yes. Before you guys send us hate mail.
Thank you.
Don't worry. We meant everyone. Okay. For God's sake. You too. Tabi saying you too, guys.
Yes. So just to start it off, right, with the random question or going leftward, I would like to ask you, Miss Siba and Miss Lynn, let me rephrase it. What is it that you best believe in or you most believe in your, not as a woman, not as a mother, not as a business person, what is it that is core to you that you believe in? Let's start with you, Siba.
Is that in general?
Or yes, in general, as you being a human being in
your own capacity.
In your own capacity.
Okay, perfect.
Stripped of
perfect.
Titles.
What do I believe in?
Yes.
A deep question. To be honest, it depends on what spectrum I'm in. For instance, I'm a believer. Let's start there. Mm-hmm. I'm a believer. I'm a woman of faith. I believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the what encompasses Miss Siba. But from there, I'm a person who really believes that we are called for greatness and something far more than ourselves. And therefore, everything around me encompasses that. Whether it be, if I achieve something, for instance, I know that it's not only an achievement for myself, but it's also an achievement that must impact the next generation, if not my peers. So I'm a believer of I'm called for something greater. We, in fact, not just me, but we are called for something greater. And we are called not just for ourselves, but for nations. So that's my main ethos. That's what I stand on.
Wow. So we're all called for a greater purpose, essentially.
Absolutely.
As opposed to just living our casual lives as we always see it as just normal. How about you, Lynn?
Candice, I'm all about equality.
Yeah.
You know, as women, we stand out, but we want to stand out as equals.
Yeah.
And it's around about working out what your truth is and really finding that truth within yourself, no matter what your gender is. Mm-hmm. And that's what I stand for. Equality and truth about being. Just being more than what you really are.
Yeah.
Just being more.
Doing more, being more.
Yes.
And that sounds like a lot of pressure, I would say, you know, to put yourself out there and say you have to be more. I mean, it's beautiful. But if you really think about it and you have to analyze it, it is quite a lot of pressure to be more, to give yourself more out there. And especially as a woman in this country.
Craig, it is pressure. You know, I think for women overall, and not just for women, I think for the world that we see ourselves in today, we're constantly under pressure.
Yeah.
Our children are under pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, they're born in a very pressurized environment. So it's no different whether you're a man or a woman, but we just have to be more of ourselves. And I think the problem is we don't really understand how great we really are. Until we actually find how much more we can give of ourselves.
On that note, Lynn, I want to ask you, is it a more personal journey where you do find the yourself? Greatness in you? Is it a personal journey or do we have to wait for someone to go, oh, wow, okay. Because many times it is someone else looking at you and going, wow, you have potential. Wow, you're great. As opposed to ourselves. So what would you say?
It is a personal journey.
Yeah.
You know, it's your own self-awareness, your own consciousness. Mm. And your mindfulness.
Yeah.
And if you can really find those things in your life, you can really live a life that is purpose-driven and you find your own truth and your own greatness. If you're waiting for people...
You'll wait forever.
You'll wait forever.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So on that note, Lynn, we're talking women in power, right? Mm-hmm. So with women being in power, is it really a matter of there being an exclusion towards women and therefore there's not a lot of women in power or is it a matter of there's not enough women working their butts off to be in those positions of power? Because we once had a lady on the show who spoke in the music industry that the guys in the music industry really push much harder
than they just work
the
harder
women. And that's why
the difference
they are clean and that's the difference. And we also had a guy in the fashion industry, and I raised the question that fashion is something that's deemed to be for females, but yet it looks so male dominated. You look at your Dolce & Gabbana shops, you look at your Versace, okay, maybe
David
Lalle, David Lalle, it's your Red Coutures, all these things or environments, even in chef in cooking, your Prime Masters you know, all of these are men dominated, and yet some of these are thought
considered
of to be
as female professions
exactly in the patriarchal system, right? So which begs to bring the question, is it truly a sense of patriarchy is devaluing women, or is that men are just working harder to get into these spaces? So let's start with Siba.
I think I want
to
hear
I'd like to hear your take on this, Siba, and then we'll come to Lynn.
Okay, perfect. I really think, you know what it is? It's a question that can be slightly difficult to answer. I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. The industry itself, let's start with the industry itself has not opened itself up for women to be progressive. For instance, when it is a childbearing year, for instance, I'm speaking for myself. Mm-hmm. For instance, men don't have to be pregnant.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that in any way where I'm bashing men.
Yes.
But it's a matter of reality of what is there specifically in my industry. When, for instance, a woman is pregnant, she will most likely come back in the kitchen and will no longer have the position that she had, or she would be seen as an inconvenience if she has to take the responsibility of the mother.
Absolutely.
So first of all, the industry is not open up for people to have a normal, balanced life,
yeah,
specifically for women who take on the role of mothers, of parents, with much more than males. That's the first point. Men don't have to, they don't usually have morning sicknesses when they are pregnant in the kitchen. They don't usually, they're not usually the ones that have to wake up many times in order to make sure that the child is reared during the night and all of that. And therefore, that cycle is, you know, it's the pressure is more on the woman. So majority of the time, it's not that the women are not working hard, but you know, the job itself does not lend itself favorably to the woman to have best of both worlds, where she's understood when she has worked until a specific time because she has to pick up her kids at this time, or she needs maternity leave. You know, so it's not as if the women in industry are not working hard. There are so much, especially in this coming era, and specifically me. I mean, I know not what maternity leave is, so I am a living example of a woman who is trailblazing and who's really pushing hard, working hard in my industry. But it is not easy. It's not easy for people, for women who have 9-to-5 jobs, who are not necessarily have control of their own time by being their own bosses, like me, for instance, because it means that they also have to have fair income to have a nanny to take care of that child a majority of the time. And you find that most of the time the salaries are not that much. And we cannot tiptoe around the issue of inequality.
Okay, that's what I want to get into now. So you spoke about find the natural processes of men and women being counterproductive or being more for women, like in terms of the workspace.
Yeah,
they're more beneficial to men than they are to women. But then you find people like yourself who
make it seem easy.
Exactly, yeah. We've achieved such great levels of, or rather, we've worked and achieved so many accolades and done trailblazing things. So now that for me automatically trumps any argument with anybody who's going to say, because I'm a woman, certain things that I go through naturally hinder me from progressing, because there are examples like yourself
are there
who show
yes,
that even with
difference?
That you can counteract that. Yes.
Okay, perfect. I need to put this into perspective so that you see the point in which I'm trying to put across. And I'm not making excuses for women, not at all, because I myself have put myself out there and have achieved much, even though I have 4 kids with a 2-week-old baby.
Exciting stuff.
2-month-old baby, I mean, as I speak to you. But what I'm trying to say is, not everybody has the financial capacity or backing to
100%.
Be their own boss.
100%.
That is what I'm saying. Majority of people, men and female, are working for somebody.
Gotcha.
And within that structure is not conducive for a fair, not necessarily a fair, but an equal, I wouldn't say equal, but some form of understanding where a woman is understood when she has to go on maternity break and still attain her job, because it's a natural thing that it's only imposed on women naturally that men don't have to go through. And therefore, because the men have a natural advantage in that sense, they tend to get more. Now, in a family structure, in a normal family structure, when a woman, it is a norm that it is the mother who is the nurturer. And because the mother often takes the role of a nurturer, it is most likely that she's going to be the one who wakes up every morning, any hours of the morning, to feed the baby, because the feeding is within her. Breast milk is hers.
Yeah.
You know, she can pump as much as she can, but it's a natural thing. So what I'm saying is that it's not everybody who has had the opportunity to be their own boss like myself, and therefore can create their own time frame of how they
of
want
comfort.
To work.
Gotcha.
Some people are stuck in a 9-to-5, and it's hard. I will not lie to you. It is really, really, really hard to step out and take the risk of to be where I am by saying, I'm leaving the normal 9-to-5 and I'm going to start my own thing. You will definitely need financial support for at least the first year, of which I thank my Minister of Finance. My
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Bless our vibes.
Even, you know, in times when there'll be times where I've gone and I've done a business venture, it didn't work out as well as I wanted to. And it's an investment thing. And Brian will come to my rescue. Not everybody has the privilege of having somebody. I mean, given where we come from, I, for instance, am the first entrepreneur in my family.
Okay.
And I've had to hustle and to learn everything myself. I didn't have a mom or a dad who can guide me through business.
Sure.
So meaning I probably had far more people than if a person comes from a family where there was business before. But obviously it will be a different case for my children. So the narrative I'm trying to point is that to a certain degree, it hasn't been looked into really. And it's not just my industry, but it is the industry at large, corporate at large, that the roles of a woman, by virtue of her being a woman, often, especially when it comes to a child rearing stages and all of that, you are put under so much pressure. And not everybody can take the pressure that I can. Not everybody can go on with having a child and, you know, and being able to hold so many balls, double so many balls all at once and still be safe. You know, it's like you have been trained through. For instance, I come from a big family. We 8 kids, we 6 kids, and we've got 2 adopted. So crazy is normal for me, but it may not necessarily be normal for someone else. So it also speaks on people's different strengths and people's different capacity or capabilities on what they're able to do. So what I'm saying is I'm not bashing at all. I mean, I am kissing me that I need my husband and I love him and my dad is amazing. So it's not a matter of male bashing per se, but it is just to say that many things that hinder women from, you know, progressing as much and starting with a main thing, which is a natural one, which is childbirth status. Coming back, and you are now being reduced from being executive chef or whatever chef you were to being a sous chef, but because simply work has progressed without you, and therefore you now have to take a different role simply because of a natural thing.
But
so what I'm saying,
Ms. Siba,
is
isn't it okay? But we'll continue with that one. I want to hear now from Lynn with a different work environment and background. So correct me if I'm wrong, Lynn. The little birdie on my shoulder told me that you used to be a linesman in soccer.
No.
Okay.
Okay. So a research team fired.
We're firing our research team.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at it like,
Thomas, pack your things and leave. Thomas, you're done. You don't have a job anymore, Thomas.
Definitely not.
That's not you.
No.
Okay. So as founder and CEO of KLM Empowered, how was your journey in this male-dominated world to get there? Because being a CEO is something...
I was going to say, the CEO title.
Yeah.
First thing that comes to my mind is a man. It's a male's world.
Yes.
It's a man's, you know, territory.
Yes. Yeah. And honestly, you look like a very calm...
You walk in here looking like a supermodel, and she's
person,
like, yeah, oh, by the way, I'm a CEO too.
You just... Yeah. Down to earth, and that is
and so lovely, hey?
Exactly.
Because you would think that a woman in the
in
and these
power,
are stereotypes,
in,
right?
Yes.
Women in power have a dominance, and they walk in here
and
you
feel
can sense
the aura.
How's that journey been for you? How did you get it, or what are the difficulties?
Thank you for the opportunity. Mm. You know, titles are titles are titles.
Okay.
It doesn't change or define who the person is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the hierarchy and what you progress to. But to get to that point does take a whole lot of sacrifice and a whole lot of support. And I'm going to go back to what Siba says.
He's
mentioning Brian, finance manager.
Do you have a fabulous husband too?
I have an absolute fabulous husband. It's his birthday today. So it's really special.
Happy birthday.
So he has given me the wings to fly. And I say that with such respect to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a woman back in my day, and I won't give away my age, it was not accepted that you go solo.
Okay.
It was not accepted that you leave the wonderful home environment and your children to be, you know, seen to by others.
Yes.
And you were supposed to be the great housekeeper, wife and mother.
Patriarchy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Still believe I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I chose a career and I chose to be damn good at it as best as I could. And I knew then, if I didn't have that support, I wouldn't be able to accomplish what I had set out to accomplish. And believe you me, no journey is a smooth one.
Mm-hmm.
It has peaks and valleys and more valleys than peaks mm-hmm. as you go through that. And you know that the only people that stand by you
is your family.
Your family.
Are your anchors.
Yeah, it actually it actually sounds interesting because you look at the likes of Carol Bauer, you know,
Basizana Khumalo.
Basizana Khumalo. Kanye Dloma. They have achieved a lot of things as women.
Connie Ferguson.
Of course. Yes. Karabo. We know as Karabo.
You know, have achieved amazing things. And it feels like a woman who have that family support structure achieve a lot more
yes.
versus those who don't. And now my concern is, what about, for an example, my mom raised me as a single parent.
And she did a fabulous
job. And she did an amazing job, of course. Scusa.
Yes.
Great. You know? This is what I wanted to actually lead into.
Yeah.
And this is my story. It's Siba's story. Uh-huh. But there are other stories that of very powerful women that have really done it out there on their own.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying that when you have the support, because it's difficult, your husband can hold you back.
Mm.
You can allow him the opportunity to fly and fulfill his dreams and aspirations
uh-huh.
as well as yours. But when a man is great enough to allow you to fulfill your own dreams and ambitions, then that greatness, no matter where he is in his life or what his choices are, lives and resides within you.
Mm-hmm. All right,
so beautiful. You can never take credit for everything yourself.
Mm.
And you cannot take credit for arriving where you arrive without great people who support you. Whether it be family or it be fantastic people doing it with you in partnership in your organization. And today being so-called Bosses Day, and I say so-called because that word boss doesn't resonate with me, but leader does.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, to be a great leader, you need to be pushed and driven and respected by your people that you collectively work together for a common goal.
By your family, basically.
That's right. And they are my family.
Yes.
Mm. Okay.
So, yes, but great now, women become great because first they want to.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what their support is. If those who have had the support, like myself and Siba and all of those that have, women that have done it on their own, have done incredible
things.
Flying solo for the love of their children and for what they want to accomplish for your family.
I just want to ask something. When we speak of incredible women and empowering women and powerful women, right? Is it subject to morality? So I would think of sex workers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a form of them empowering themselves? Let's just say escorts, strippers. Is there morality fine and we go, but that's not really what we do. Maybe not that. You're not really empowering yourself. Or can we still spread it that wide and go, yes, you're empowering yourself. Because these women are, you know, most of the time they're paying tuition.
Yeah, they've got interesting stories.
This whole blessy and blessed thing, most of the time they're sending money home. It's incredible the stories that these women will tell you.
Mm. Yeah, they're empowering through their
work. Exactly.
Yeah.
You see them in the club drinking champagne, but you don't know that they need to work. Let me call it work.
Because baby brothers and
bits. Exactly. They need to pay bills and mom is expecting money. What would you say to that? How do we navigate that? Are there boundaries?
You know, we cannot judge the choices that other people make.
Mm-hmm.
I think in whichever way they choose to empower themselves, as long as it is by their choice.
100%. Okay.
And they are not forced
to do
what goes against their free will.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Then we cannot judge.
100%.
And that's where I stand on that.
So to each their own, basically.
That's correct.
Get your money up.
Yeah. But now going back to the woman in power, I still want to understand, is it an issue that we have a lack of women in power because of whatever systematical procedures or, gatekeepers, so it be, or is it fundamentally the lack of women in power because
work ethic?
For example, the time President Zuma was coming out of presidency, he elected his ex-wife Nkosazana Zuma, Dlamini Zuma, to become deputy president.
Yes,
a lot of people had a problem with that, right? And that is a position of power. I want to know from you, Siba and Len, what was your standpoint on that? since you are pro-woman in power, and you've clearly established with Candace now that there aren't any boundaries. And so what was your standpoint on that when that happened with Nkosazana? Let's start with Lynn. With Nkosazana, Dlamini Zuma was elected. Or
can I just jump in here? What I will say is the issue was not so much that, I mean, it's multiple issues, right? But the issue was not so much that she's a woman. It was more of a history.
But some stated, and okay, if you want to talk history, just for example, Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma was a part of the UN. And prior to her being part of the UN was in shambles. Mm-hmm. The UN used to have events, then national events or whatever events in SA when the UN headquarters is in Ethiopia. Prior to, after her coming in, she enforced legislation and rules to say things must run a certain way, to the point that the UN now has their own events in Ethiopia, developing the country of Ethiopia through giving back. So in terms of her career, if you want to talk CV, she has done some amazing very things. Amazing things. Yeah. The only problem was that she was married to, and of which she divorced. So now, the argument came that we cannot have a woman in power. I want to know from astute women who are in power, what were your thoughts when it comes to that? Let's start with Lynn.
I think I'm going to go right back to what Candace says. I don't think it had anything to do with gender. I think there was history there, and there was great sensitivity, and to what influences the past and the present on the present.
Yes,
and I think that is we cannot make comment for what we do not know.
100%.
But I honestly do believe that this was not about a woman taking up power. It was more to that.
And Nsiba?
I completely 110% agree with Lynn on that. I do follow politics very closely. There's one thing when a woman is deprived an opportunity to lead simply because of her being female, and then it's another thing when she's deprived the opportunity simply because people are not because of
association.
It's association, and specifically because at the time in the country people wanted out of any of that association. So I think if it was a clean slate and Mark Zuma had come as is without maybe the association of her former husband, it would have been a completely different case. But at the same time, politics is politics.
Yeah.
It's not an answer that we could straightly give and say, this is that. It's completely different, for instance, from business, where you could say yay or nay on this matter. But in answering your question holistically, which is, are women, are we, if I understand you correctly, are you asking is the community at large ready to have women leaders? Is that the question?
No, I was more talking about, is there a lack of women in power? Is there a need to say, like, to highlight the point of saying there is a serious issue about women in power? Is there still systematic problems that exist that prevent women from being in power? Or is it simply...
Or are we just lame?
Yes, is there simply women that are not working as hard? Because in this day and age, it's a competition in everything, even with men, you know, and there's only one position of power. You get what I'm saying? So are we honestly going to say, out of the 50 people that are there and there's 20 women, the fact that it went to a man, now it's a problem that women are being hindered? Or it's a fair thing of saying there's only one position and we gave it to the best candidate?
Can I come in on this one,
yes.
Job? Mm-hmm. You know, we look at business today, and there's always the imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go back to what I said previously about, you know, really looking at life holistically, but with equality as being key to all things. And there is a historical reason why there are more men in power than women. You know that. But it doesn't stop women today from being empowered.
That deserves
absolutely.
Because that's all I'm saying.
That's
all I'm saying.
It really does not stop a woman today. If anything, this is the greatest stage, the greatest moment to be that more factor, mm-hmm. to find yeah. your truth, to be all you want to be, because there is nothing stopping mm-hmm. you but yourself.
There we go. Thank you yeah. so much.
If I may add a little bit on that, yeah. I have been reading a lot. Obviously, I run my own company, and I have been reading a lot on leadership, specifically when it comes to women. And there is a book by the lady who, whose name is, it's called Lynn In. I just forgot the author's name. Okay. It's called Lynn In, but she at some point was a very held a very high position at Google.
And yes, or the Google well. CEO. Yes. Who lost her husband?
I forgot her name. So funny enough. Mm. But anyway, if I may, you know what it is. You know that book is so empowering, and she says in the book that it is not it's not men bashing, but it's only to showcase the things that women go through as a norm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are many things, for instance, that hold us back from getting that hold us back as women. And I'm speaking for myself, from achieving those things. And often you need certain people to push you to say that, you know what, so-and-so, you can do it because yeah, I did yes. it. And yep. I find that majority of the time, those are the things often that hold us back. I don't think women work less. In terms of that, but I would say sometimes they are afraid to go for certain positions yeah. simply because they feel like they don't match up to those things. Because, for instance, it's always been a male dominated, and
yes.
therefore,
the social conditioning,
be targeted, and all of those things. One of the things she said, which one of the studies that was in her book, which I found really liberating, is that did you know that if we were to put two women, obviously it was a US study, two women together. Who were to do apply for a job. For the male perspective, a male, for instance, would apply for the job, not necessarily based on what he is, on his skill, but based on the fact that he thinks he can do the job.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one. So it would be 60%, he'd be 60% qualified for the job, and not necessarily 100% or 80%. Mm. The woman would not apply for the job, even though she is 85% to 90% qualified for the job. She will still feel, no, she needs a little bit, you know, she's still not qualified. So there we are the thing in which it's very imperative for us as women to speak about those issues with women, to say that, guys, it is completely fine. Even if you are not 100% applicable. For that specific job, you can still apply for it, because not everything, for instance, you know from get-go, from a certain position, but obviously you must be informed enough for you to know what you are doing. Mm. So, I mean, the dynamics of that one specific case study was so strong. Was so strong for me to say that those are the few things that often holds you back. And she even speaks about, I mean, I listened to TED Talk, and there was this one woman who said, you know, how we raise women. We raise, like, and I'm a mother to two boys and two girls, and I, you know, these are the things that I'm quite aware of. We raise the woman, for instance, my husband bought Mushe, my oldest daughter, a teapot, and then he bought the guys, the adventures,
yes,
you know,
but
teams and all of that. But the way in which we raise the kids, the woman's child, the girl's child, is almost to say they must take less risk, or they must be far more cautious in terms of taking risk in general. In
versus the men.
To the male child. So, for instance, I'll say, Mute, don't do this, because no, girls don't do that. You know, whereas if Lonabo is jumping up and down and he's being risky, it's fine. So even those are the things we have to tap into and make sure that we unwind the things that we've always been taught in order for us to really go for it.
Okay, it's beautiful. I actually want to add on to something that Lynn mentioned. This could be a comment, and anyone can actually comment on this. She said something about, if you're a woman and you are in a partnership, or you're in a relationship, or you're in a marriage, that irrespective of which level you are, whether you achieve a lot more or you achieve less, or you're set back, whatever the case might be, your partner needs to resonate with you. So my question to you guys, especially as women, I'm not necessarily saying this is an actual case study, so it does not necessarily apply to you, both of you. But what would happen to a general, typical, like a black woman who is married, has kids, starts her own entrepreneurial skills and starts to apply her own mind and mm-hmm. becomes very successful, mm-hmm. too successful, that she's more successful than her own husband. Mm-hmm. And these are real social issues yeah. that women would say, but I cannot, I do have the ability to do it, but I'm afraid of the social 100%. Stance. I'm afraid of upsetting my husband mm. or my gotcha. Partner. Mm. You know, so mm. where do you guys...
How do you deal with that?
Yeah, as women.
Let's start with Lynn.
It is and still remains a big concern because it's very difficult for two people to be in one relationship mm-hmm. and both great achievers, mm-hmm. especially when there's family.
Yeah.
But then there's a mutual respect.
Okay.
And there is a 50-50 partnership.
Okay.
And it's a give and a take. And if you can't work that system, then somebody is going to take the back seat.
Yes.
So you have to work it out between you and your partner to be able to allow you both to achieve your full potential, because it's for the greater good of the
absolutely.
Children. Okay, or your future and your life and your the sustainability. Family, yes. But not everyone has the maturity. That's the point
to
I want to make.
That, yeah.
The maturity. You know, people have to grow up.
Yes.
There's so much of that lacking today. You know, it's an immaturity. There's always this tug of war.
Ego
of who
involved.
An ego and yeah. who is stronger than the other. Fortunately, I don't have that.
Oh, lucky you.
Okay, I don't have that in my life.
Yeah.
I am one of the fortunate, but it has not been that journey from the get-go.
Yes.
So it has been a journey to get to this point. But you see it, and it's about being mature yourself, being emotionally mature, and being able to give your partner the best opportunity to fulfill the best of themselves as without compromising yourself in the process. And I think that is when we reach that point of total equilibrium.
Yes.
Then there's, then, because I always say, look, in the larger scheme of things or in the greater scheme of things, patriarchy will always be there. It will always exist. The only way it can die is in isolation. In isolation in the sense of your homestead, your relationship, in that small space, that's the only way that it will die. And if that dies in there, then it comes to what you were saying, Ms. Len, there's a balance, there's equilibrium.
Exactly.
So I just want to tie in with what Craig said. So essentially, it's this woman in power, right?
Mm.
But at home, in your domestic space, you are still a wife and a mom. So the lines are blurred. Or is there a clear... I'm just trying to understand,
balance?
Because you're a CEO by day.
Yes.
And then I get home. Are you then the wife?
But what does being the wife mean?
The wife in the natural sense of being a wife. You know, man. Come on, come work with me. Work with me, darling.
But that's what I'm talking about. Patriarchy.
You did say that you have a wonderful husband, which is great. Not everyone has that.
That's correct.
How do you find that balance of like, okay, I'm super important at work, and then I get home and
super mom.
jiggy, I'm a cook.
You know
what I'm saying? Like simple stuff like that.
I know.
No, Siba, I know you like cooking. Siba, I know you like cooking.
That's how you make
this
your moolah.
This one's not for you.
You know, I want to just jump in and say, Candice, you're right. You know, in my 20s, I didn't know what I was.
Yeah.
I wore multiple hats. You know, whether you're a wife, it doesn't stop and start with that. Whether you're a mother, a daughter, a sister, a friend, a entrepreneur, we wear many, many hats in our lives. And as you go through the years and you mature, you start to realize that these hats need to merge into one.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you choose which hat you want to be. But the hat that you choose has to be your truth.
Okay.
And you cannot be more than who you are that you choose to be. You cannot choose to be that submissive wife because it is a role that is expectant of you when you are not that person, but you're an equal partner to that other person.
So many social dynamics here.
Yes. I know, right? I want to throw in another curveball. And Siba, this one's for you. You did say you're a woman of faith. And with many faiths, the woman is the lesser. Call a spade a spade.
Yes.
You know, the man is the leader and the woman knows her place. Woman power, woman empowerment where? You know what I'm saying?
Does it
how do you find
your
voice
when
there's conflict there? When there's this thing of like, okay, cool, I'm supposed to be, you know, submissive to my husband within this faith, blah 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 blah. But also, I want to be an entrepreneur and I want to be a CEO
and
I want to be Siba.
Yeah.
How do you navigate that space? Do you step out of that? Do you? I don't know. It must be such an intense
Do you pick and choose?
Place to be in. Yeah.
It's like the whole gay and religion thing.
Yes. Mm. Yes. How do you navigate that?
I would say it's really hard, to be honest, for me to give life life experience, which is obviously that has not been
your narrative. Yes.
My narrative. But I do get a lot of women who do speak write to me and who would ask me, Siva, I would love to start my business. And you know, people who ask that. And often this comes quite a lot. Specifically, for instance, in people who come from a very religious setting, either very religious or very strong cultural background.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you know, those are the settings where a woman must know their place.
Yeah.
It depends on many factors, I would say. And often when I give advice, I would ask, is your husband, for instance, a person who would want you to do such a thing? Because often there are some husbands who just want to take care of their woman. And they want the woman to be in the kitchen, cooking, their food, and just having little people, and that's all they want. Which, for me, speaks to the insecurity of that particular person and not being able to allow the person to be who they were meant to be. Now, if a woman is in that structure, then obviously it will be so hard for her to get out and start her own thing, because that in itself is a form of abuse.
Mm-hmm. It's patriarchy, though. Is it abuse, Siva, or is it patriarchy? Because one would argue that we are where we are today because of the system of patriarchy.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I adjudicate for that, but I'm saying this is the world we live in. People would say today that we are where we are because of patriarchy. And that's one thing I also wanted to bring up, but now we're going to run out of time. But that system of patriarchy has worked for others. Mm. But in your case, and in Lynn's case, it's been a matter, from what I've heard so far, it's been a matter of that your partners do not subscribe to that. They are more of, we are human and we are equal. Let's share the roles accordingly, as to when, with regards to our strengths and weaknesses. But the larger majority or the larger congregation of the world, it's of the thing, I'm a man and you a woman. And certain things are not supposed to be. And now, which begs the question of, when you're in the boardroom with such people, who believe that I'm not going to listen to a woman.
Why am I going to listen to Lynn?
How do you get to break through that and become the CEO of KLM Empowered and Siva? Siva, what is it again? Sorry,
Dancing. I forgot.
The Siva Co. So how do you progress in such a world where, like, let's not kid ourselves. You're home. Yeah. You're at home. Hence, I said, patriarchy dies in isolation, of which you guys are an example that patriarchy does not exist in your homesteads. But in the world, it does. Yes.
It just depends on how you manage that process collectively as a partnership.
Okay.
And all women, it doesn't matter who you are and from where you come, you still do want to be taken care of.
Yes.
You still want to be pampered.
You still want a few wallets every now and then.
You know what I mean? So no matter what your role is, it doesn't matter what
your strength is.
And let's go right back to who we are as women. We're natural nurturers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we move very agilely to, you know, into those roles, not because we expect it to only, because it's natural.
It comes naturally.
Yes. We are women.
Yeah.
We love it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But I like it when you say it's who you are. It's not supposed to be forced upon.
Yeah.
Then it's abuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then that I agree it's abuse.
Yeah, I think Siva, go on.
If I may add,
yes.
We spoke about, for instance, you spoke about it being, if it's not forced. I love that. But the problem is, if a person really, for instance, is in a position of, they want to be like a lid, they want to be a Siva, and they want to break away from that, it does become a certain level of abuse if the man, either or, does not then allow it.
Yes.
Because for that specific person, it obviously means that patriarchy is then not what they would want to have as a reigning order for their lives. Therefore, they need to be given the expression for them to be who they were meant to be.
The way they want to be.
In a respectful way. For instance, I'm very respectful to my husband. I mean, I tell everybody I love my husband. They all know that.
Yeah, we all know. We all know you love your husband, Brian.
Was talking about
okay,
that.
See that?
Such a great man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I go to Abu Dhabi. Like, I was in Abu Dhabi in March.
Hey, girl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Flexing,
oh.
Flexing.
But in Abu Dhabi, like, in places where it's actually really...
Yes.
And
yes.
It's not a myth. It's a law.
Yeah.
Yes.
In places like that, I could only feel as a person who is outside of
the culture,
of the culture rather. But it's not the same. It's not the same culture everywhere. But obviously, it's much more stronger in that area, in the Middle East. Now, as a person, I can only feel not remorse, but feel sorry for the for the woman to a certain degree, because, for instance, there are places where, I mean, they've only been allowed to drive recently.
Women
have only been allowed to drive very recently, whereas I have been driving since I was 18.
Wow.
You understand? So it's like, I can only, you know, there are women who are super ambitious and all those things, and if that's where you realize that, you know, things like patriarchy can be a stumbling block from women being breaking forth to being who they really wanted to be. And then there's India. If my husband was in India not so long ago, he did a business course, and in India was telling me that there is a natural hierarchy by virtue of you being coming from a specific a tribe or kind of people. You are your role in life is either to lead, be part of the kingship, or to serve. So it doesn't matter how excellent be in terms of leading. You must not fight what's supposed to be. You must just let it be.
Yeah.
And obviously, that for me was quite shocking, because we are part apartheid. We've got equal opportunities now going through. Now we're going through women empowerment, everybody empowerment, and all of that.
Yeah.
So there are areas of the world where those things, even though it's not necessarily in a form of a woman empower, but rather a people empower, where it's really real.
Okay.
It's sad to see it, because obviously we are on the liberated front.
So it's about the social conditioning you spoke about, Jab.
Yes.
It's all about that, and it's changing perceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a look at what are we doing as business, as CEOs, as managers out there, as ambassadors out there, we need to change the story. And the only way you can change that story is by sharing it.
100%.
And to have real, raw conversations. And to be able to actually tell young women, an aspiring woman, a mature woman, that we all come from a similar background.
Yes.
Our stories might be similar and yet different, but we learn from each other as a collective. And it's about those stories and engaged dialogue that can change the story and change your perception
and change.
And we raise the social conditioning that we see happening still in countries, let alone our country today.
Mm-hmm. And that's something both you and Siba are strongly inclined or pushing.
Absolute advocate.
And soon there's a talk that you'll be having with regards to awareness in terms of women in power.
Mm-hmm.
Complete.
And so people can get that information on both your respective websites?
Yes, they can go and visit www.klmempowered.com and or our Facebook page, and go and read about it, because it's so important that women come together. Not that we're excluding men. We love men.
It's not that your movement is.
That's right. We love
men. It's not against our movement. It's a separate.
It's not a male bashing party.
It's saying it's okay.
Yes.
It's okay.
It's okay to want to be empowered.
That's right. It's okay to lead. And not always to be led.
On that note, we want to play
a quick game. Just to lighten up the mood, guys. We've got a couple of minutes.
Thanks for your time.
Urban Culture
Drive. Siba, this game is called Death is Not an Option, because death is literally not an option. I will give you a scenario as it is. You need to tell me which one you'd pick. I'll start with you, Siba. So, would you rather, cook for 100 presidents of the world, unbeknownst to you, you poison all of them and they die, or have them live, but all 100 give you bad reviews, which go viral and ruins your reputation forever?
Neither.
Death is not an option. You have to pick one.
You have to choose one. Quick.
Okay, great. Your heart is so beautiful. Your heart's in the right place. Lynn, Would you rather forfeit your position as CEO at KLM, but go on to be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, or keep your position as is and remain as is where you are right now?
Remain where I am right now.
Okay, you guys are passionate people. Siba, last one. Would you rather lose your ability to cook or your ability to taste?
Yes, choose one.
Come on, Siba.
I'm experienced enough to know how food to taste like.
Okay,
so I don't want to lose my ability to cook.
Gotcha. Right. Last one, Lynn. Would you rather have something in your eye or need to sneeze but never be able to for a year? So something in your eye for a whole year, or the need to sneeze but you never actually remove these things?
I will choose the need to sneeze.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
I can just imagine.
Can I ask you to choose one?
Okay, one.
So, Craig.
Yes.
Would you rather travel the world but live in poverty, or stay in one place and live rich?
Stay in one place and live rich. Poverty has never been good on me.
It's not for you. It's not for you.
It doesn't look good on you. No, Joe, be buried alive or be stranded at sea and eventually die?
Yo, I'd rather be stranded at sea and eventually die. I buried alive. Yeah. No, that's
ladies,
too much.
Thank you so much for coming through today. Thanks for dialing in, Siba. Really appreciate you guys. You guys are incredible women.
Thank you.
Continue leading the way and inspiring us.
Continue having the conversation.
Yes, keep the conversation going. We wish you all the best.
Thank you.
With your
thank
future
you,
endeavors.
Central, for having us and hosting us today.
Yes. I hope both of you all got enough airtime and... You know,
you'll be tweeting us. They only gave me 5 minutes. Please, Siba. Siba, we gave you a moment.
I do learn that an hour goes by so quick.
It does. Yeah.
You'd be surprised. So,
closing comments from the ladies, real quick.
Real quick, 30 seconds, Siba.
Please do come see us on the 22nd to the 24th for the KLM in Ibiza. It's going to be absolutely amazing. If you're a boss or a CEO, please empower your woman. Let them hear these amazing women speak and empowering other women.
Okay. Awesome.
Thank you.
The leaders must get behind the aspiring leaders and pay it forward.
Okay.
And if they want to continue this dialogue, see us at the Ibiza.
Awesome. Yes. Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. We're on Urban Culture Drive on all your socials. It's been real. Thank you.
Like that, love and light. Bye. Cheers. Bye, Ms. Siba.
This is CliffCentral.com.